The darling little bundle of joy. Or the screaming child who won't give us a moment's rest. Our society has an ambivalent attitude toward children. On the one hand, we sentimentalize them. They are tender creatures of innocence, pure and pristine and unspoiled by the grimy adults in the world around them. On the other hand, they are demanding and inconvenient. What do we say? They are rugrats crawling around the house, tasting everything they can find on the floor, sticking it in their mouths, and destroying anything they can lay their hands on. Comedian W.C. Fields, well known for his disgust with children, once said, "Any man who hates dogs and children can't be all bad." We may be appalled with Fields' attitude, but there was little ambivalence in Jesus' day about children, and it wasn't too much different from W.C. Fields, for children were not highly regarded. Helpless, dependent, non-productive burdens. Children were second-class citizens in a sense. One day these children might grow up to be productive adults and be able to protect their parents. But until then, they were far down the social ladder. So in today's gospel, when Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name receives me," he must have stunned the disciples. It is a hard saying, and it follows right on the heels of another hard saying the disciples did not want to hear. For Jesus had predicted that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer and die. The disciples weren't thrilled about following such a Messiah. I mean, we saw that in last week's gospel. I mean, if Jesus wants to carpool, he can do it with someone else. Instead, they preferred to argue among themselves about who would have the greatest power and prestige in Jesus' kingdom. I mean, who's going to get that corner office and the limo and the extra secretary? And when Jesus questioned them about their conversation, they refused to answer. They were ashamed of their blatant selfishness. But Jesus knew the subject of their conversation. And so, what does he do? As a kind of object lesson, he puts a little child, a thumb-sucking rugrat, in the midst of them and says, "My kingdom is like this." Like those disciples, we too live in a world that is hungry for greatness. We admire the successful, the self-made, the self-sufficient, who have left behind thumb-sucking and other such forms of childishness. And we easily become impatient with little ones who cannot grow up and get off the floor. Like that time he had an important announcement for me. "Pastor, I'm leaving my wife. I can't take it any longer." "Why?" I asked. "Pastor, she's hooked on these pills. She can't make it through the day without them. She's dependent on them." "Dependent?" I said. "Like sucking your thumb when you're afraid?" "Yes. She's just like a child. She makes a fool of herself at parties. She's embarrassing. And she's holding me back." What could I say to him? Oh, perhaps I could have quoted Jesus from today's gospel and shamed him. I mean, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." But this frustrated husband like the disciples of Jesus would have never understood. Both were in the hot pursuit of greatness and had no time for thumb-sucking rugrats. One afternoon, a social worker went to visit a woman who had lived with her two children in a two-room tenement apartment. The woman was in the process of moving in the few belongings of her 84-year-old mother, who had just had a stroke, could not speak, and had become incontinent. "Listen," the social worker said urgently to the woman. "You can't be moving your mother in here with you. I mean, you've got all you can handle with these two children and all of your other problems. And you're going to have to feed your mother, change her diapers, wash her bed linens. I mean, nobody expects you to do that for your mother." The woman listened politely. Then, in a low, determined voice, she said, "Well, she'd done all that for me when I was little. So I reckon I can do it for her now because she needs somebody." On the way back to the car, the social worker mumbled to her colleague, "Sometimes I don't know if there is any hope for these people." The frustrated husband, the irritated social worker, the ambitious disciples, they did not understand the meaning of Jesus' words. No clue that whoever welcomes one such child in my name receives me. When Jesus questioned his disciples, he knew all about their dirty little secret. And don't we harbor the same dirty little secret? Jesus knows all about our ambition. So does the book of James in today's second reading. He rails against the bitter envy and selfish ambition lurking in his readers' hearts. Like us. Like Jesus' disciples, we are afraid that Jesus knows what we are up to. Fearing exposure, we hide in a conspiracy of silence. We distrust a Messiah who can only talk of betrayal and death. When questioned, we plead the fifth. But silence is no excuse. Jesus knows we have been hiding. He knows what's going on. And when he puts that child right into our midst, he exposes our shameless ambition and the dirty little secret we wanted no one to see. We got caught with our fingers in the cookie jar. We're no better, really, are we, than the thumb-sucking rugrats and selfish brats we despise? And we deserve a time out, or worse yet, bed without supper. But Jesus has us just where he wants us. Shame, sucking our thumbs, noses running, tears cascading across our face, wanting to run and hide. Jesus utterly surprises us. He does not send us to bed early without supper. Instead, he sets us on his lap and gives us a big hug. And we realize that Jesus is not the kind of Messiah we thought he was. Like the disciples, we expect a Messiah who will show us how to grow up and make something out of ourselves. And when we fall or fail, we're going to suffer the consequences, right? maybe given a time out or sent to bed without supper. But when Jesus defies not only our expectations, but God's expectations, that we grow up and stop being so childish, whoa, someone has got to pay. I mean, how can Jesus get away with talking like this? The good news is that Jesus did. No wonder in today's gospel, Jesus has spoken so openly about going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. He knew the risks involved. Yet, he trusts that his Father wanted it this way. So he went to the cross to suffer, not just a time out, not just going to bed early, but to suffer death. Jesus was willing to do this even for thumb-sucking rugrats like us, even for selfish, ambitious disciples. His commitment to love us like that was not wasted. For just as he had predicted, on the third day, his Father raised him from the dead. You see, this is the kind of love that the world cannot understand. God loving a world that does not deserve to be loved. We may be infatuated with ambition and status. We may be no better than selfish rugrats sucking our thumbs, deserving criticism, being sent to bed without supper, and finally to the grave. But now we're sitting in Jesus' lap and wrapped in his arms. Safe and secure, we no longer need to stand there ashamed, sucking our thumbs, and afraid to speak. We get to come clean, admit the dirty little secret, as we did here a few moments this morning in the liturgy. We can face the shameless ambition that has justified our willingness to step on anyone who gets in our way. We can name our sins because we know that Jesus has us safely in his lap. He'll carry those sins for us all the way to Jerusalem and the cross. And when Jesus takes us off his lap and puts us back on our feet, we get to live life differently. Differently from all the kids who usually are in conflict on the playground. For among us, all are welcome. We compete and strive to do our best so that all benefit. Life is about more than just us. As James in our second reading describes, we no longer need to engage in disputes and conflicts because our lives are more than a scramble to the top. We get to be gracious and generous, pursuing the common good. And best of all, we get to return the favor to the one who rescued us in the first place. As we welcome other thumb-sucking rugrats, wiping someone else's runny nose, and bandaging another's skin knees, we discover, oh my, we've been doing this to Jesus and the one who sent him. I mean, can there be any better playmates on the playground than these? No. And that's the point. Amen.